All right. We are in a series called Revival Culture. So Pastor Larry has led us off. Pastor Ken preached last week. Today we talk about another component of what a revival culture looks like. So this is just family today, right? So we're at the family table. Just pretend, you know, it's just after a nice, good meal and you're all sitting around and you're just going to have some dialogue with one another. So you're not just going to sit here and look at each other. So roll up your sleeves, and I'm going to put you to work in a bit. Let me set it up this way. Let's say that there are a group of people that walk through this door, and they come in, and they represent this. As you look at that individual that makes their way to your table, you can tell at a glance that this is an individual that is absolutely broken with sin. This is an individual that is filled with shame. Torn, tormented because of their abusive lifestyle. Self-judgment hangs on them like a coat as they walk in with hunched shoulders. And as they make their way to your table, the question is, what do you do? What would you do if that individual shoveled, maybe not completely clean, maybe there's a hint of body odor, unshaven. What do you do? Do you invite them to your table? Do you invite them into the dialogue? Or you kind of make them feel uncomfortable? Maybe you ignore them. There's a reason I asked that this morning. I think we all know there's something missing in our society today. Dreadfully missing. We can very easily in our society tear at people's reputations. We're very quick to belittle people that don't think or act like us. We cause division with our tongue as we say sharp words to or about people. We speak even though we lack the full evidence or the full knowledge of what the situation is like. We assassinate people's character with little thought of the person that we take aim at. We have lost the value of humanity. So for our theme today, the culture of honor has really fallen on hard times. A culture of honor almost is extinct within our society. So you think of the election, for example. Maybe you're going to get ready to vote. Maybe you're going to be glued to the television set as the polls come in and you begin to figure out, are we on the good side or not on the good side, according to your opinion? Can I be honest? I am sick and tired of all the social media posts about this person and that person. They're wrong and they're right. Oh, they're terrible, oh, they're good. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. I have my opinions. I'm right, obviously. You know, but you don't see me posting a bunch of stuff about how I think Pastor Ken behaves. when Carol's not around to keep him on his toes. No, but there's a sickness in our society, and we can very quickly get caught up in that sickness if we're not careful. There's a lot of trash talking that's happening, both sides of the border. Oh, my goodness. So I think of it this way. There are new heights in terms of intensity of dishonoring human race or people, and we've come to new lows when it comes to honoring humanity. We simply live in a culture that seems to have lost its sense of civility. And it gives license to target anybody that you want. There seems to be no guidelines anymore. There seems to be no limits anymore as to what we can say and do to the person we disagree with. God is very clear that is not how his church is to function. So let me give you some verses. I would encourage you to write them down because we're going to go through them fairly quickly. I'm going to read these from the Passion Translation. Thank you, Hilma Brost, wherever you are, for introducing me to the Passion Translation. You hear me talk about it probably more than I should, but I love the Passion Translation. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Because of this, my praises rise to the King of all the universe, who is indestructible, invisible, and full of glory, the only God who is worthy of the highest honors throughout all of time and throughout all of eternity, of eternities. Amen." That's where honor starts, when we honor the one who created us. Romans 12:10. "Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family." That doesn't just include us in this room. That includes all the other believers that attend all the other churches in Medicine Hat. We're to tenderly love our fellow believers as one member, or as a member of one family. Romans goes on to say, "Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another." First Peter 2:17. "Recognize the value of every person, believer or non-believer, and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers." That's where honor takes root. When we take this, and when we follow this, when we live by these standards, by these guidelines, these commands that are found in this book, that's where honor starts. Let's not lose this. Let's not buy into what society wants to tell us how to live our lives. So the command is to value every person, whether you like them or not, whether you agree with them or not. God calls us to treat them with honor. Why would he do that? I'll keep on picking on Ken. Why should I honor this man? You can answer that. He's my elder. That doesn't play out. Somebody sit at this table and straighten that table out. Okay, in God's eyes, everyone is equal. He's created in the image of God. Look at that beautiful man. Created in the image of God. Why would we dishonor him just because I don't agree with anything he says? Just kidding. But we've lost our sense of civility. we find that we've got a license to target anybody we want, and we have to understand that is not what God wants us to model to our culture. Jesus has some commands for us. Write this one down, John 13, verses 34 and 35, Passion Translation again. So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know you're my true followers. So it's not how many verses you know in this book. It's not how much knowledge you have in your head. The word says how you love one another really is the indicator whether you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, based on love. Because God is love. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. There are six evils God truly hates, and a seventh that is an abomination to him. Putting others down while considering yourself superior, spreading lies and rumors, spilling the blood of the innocent, plotting evil in your heart toward another, gloating over doing what is painfully wrong, spouting lies in false testimony, and stirring up strife between friends. These are entirely despicable to God. Pretty clear, right? Even I can figure that verse out. God hates it when we dishonor one another. And if we want to see revival come to the church, we need to make sure that we are always enhancing and growing a culture of honor amongst each other and out into the world. I don't know what translations you got, but again, I'm going to read this out of the Passion. So you can either follow along or you can turn to it. Matthew 25. And for sake of time, we're going to shorten this passage up a little bit, and we're going to start at verse 34. Matthew 25, starting at verse 34. Then the king will turn to those on his right and say, "You have a special place in my Father's heart. Come and experience the full inheritance of the kingdom realm that has been destined for you from the foundation of the world. For when you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you found me thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I had no place to stay, you invited me in. And when I was poorly clothed, you covered me. When I was sick, you tenderly cared for me. And when I was in prison, you visited me." Then the godly will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or give you food or something to drink? When did we see you with no place to stay and invite you in? When did we see you poorly clothed and cover you? When did we see you sick and tenderly care for you or in prison to visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Don't you know? When you cared for one of the least important of these, my little ones, my brothers and sisters, you demonstrated love to me." Whew. That's a gooder. So here's where you work. If you're sitting at a table where you don't have a lot of people, somebody just up and move. Because again, we're all family, and we're just supposed to be around the family meal. You've all had a big turkey dinner, and you can't wait to sit down and have a dialogue around that. So we're going to put up a question on the screen, or it's already there. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. That's why my phone is here. I'm going to time you. because we do want to go home sometime today. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes to discuss this around the table. So it starts with if. You do this to the least of these, you are doing it for Christ. How does this statement shape your attitude, your week, your interactions, your life moving forward in living out a culture of honor? You don't have to cover them all, but talk about it at your table. 5 minutes. Go. Danny Silk is an author. At least I know him as an author. Here's some words from Danny Silk. He says, because of the cross, our life is no longer about trying not to sin. Our lives are about fulfilling the commandment of love. He goes on to say, within the scriptures, it's clear we've got two options to live out. One, we can protect all the rules and create a religious culture around here, or we can protect our relationships and create a culture of love and honor. Hear this. One of these options is the covenant that Christ died to make with us. Which one is it? It's the covenant of love. And he gave his life so that we could have this kind of relationship with him and with each other. So let's get practical this morning. As I prayed about it and thought about, okay, Lord, what examples or what practically can we do with this idea of the culture of honor within River Valley Community Church? These are just the ones that he pointed to me. We could be here for the next week. Honestly, there are so many areas of the culture of honor we could cover. So these are just some examples for us. So you may want to write these down. They're just some ways, I think, that we can create a culture of honor within our community and then out. The number one in creating a culture of honor is to honor yourself. Honor how God has made you. This is nothing small because, as pastors, we've all worked with people that have very little self-respect for themselves. Their self-image is very low. And that's not honoring to God because we're all created in his image. Each one of us here, that we are absolutely unique. We're here on purpose. We've been woven together by the hand of God. We've been called, we've been equipped to serve kingdom purposes and to live out our lives in relationship with God. So Lou Engle says it this way. When God created you, he created a dream and he wrapped a body around it. So when God created you, he created a dream and then he wrapped your body around that dream. Isn't that cool? So, okay, Lord, what in the world does that wrapping look like? And it was instant for me. That's why we teach shape here. That wrapping, is he's wrapped you with spiritual gifts. He's given you gifts, a gift combination. I doubt that any of us in this room would have the same gift combination. Amen? And he gives you those gifts so that you can go out and glorify his name and fulfill kingdom purposes. He's wrapped you with a heart or a passion. So if you were to talk at your table, which we will not because of the sake of time, but each one of us has a passion about a area or over something that's very important to you, you have a heart or a passion for it. And again, we all probably are somewhat different in this room. Just think how God has brought River Valley Community Church together with all these hearts and passions that he wants us to live out. He's wrapped you with special abilities. Things that you naturally probably do throughout your day and you don't think anything of it. And yet if I was to try and do them, I would bang my head against the wall because I just can't do it because I don't have that ability. And yet God has given that to you so that you can take your abilities and bring honor and glory to Him. He's wrapped you with a personality. Some of you are wrapped really funny. Some of you are wrapped really weird. No, we've all been given a personality that lines up with all of this so that we can go and that personality fits in with all of this. Because if my personality was just absolutely an introvert, I would not be up here today. Right? There's enough quirks in me that I can be up here. He's wrapped you with experiences. Some of those experiences aren't very fun. I've got experiences in my past that I'd rather forget about. There's some experiences that are just mountaintop highs that God has allowed us to encounter. And all of those experiences work together to form this dream that God has put within us. So He's wrapped us with spiritual gifts. He's wrapped us with a heart. He's wrapped us with abilities. He's wrapped us with personality types. And He's wrapped us with experiences. In other words, He has shaped us into a dream that only you can fulfill. That's honoring to God. That's honoring to yourself. There's a potential in all of our lives that must be honored. There's a unique thumbprint upon your life from God. It is a wonderful thumbprint. And you need to figure out what that means if you haven't. From the book Culture of Honor, this Danny Silk says this. Put your name in here. I carry something that no one else carries. I must develop and release my gifts into the church and the world and do my part in bringing heaven to earth. Heaven comes to earth when we all work together in our uniqueness. So here's your homework. Can't do this today because of time again. But I really would encourage you to do this. So I found this on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and you search for this Lion of Judah videos. And you're going to find one that's entitled, The Real Reason God Created You. You will not regret taking 10 minutes and 24 seconds out of your life to watch this clip. And I've watched it way more than once. Because there's times I need to be reminded. I would do that. I would encourage you to do that. Here's a second way that we can bring a culture of honor to the church. Is simply honor how God has made the people around you. You know, you think at your table, there are very uniquely gifts around each table, and it would be really fun if we could just take the rest of the day and just talk about each one of those. And we would see, wow, God is a master at creating. We're all different, and God says to us, honor one another, honor everyone you come across, honor everyone that you work with, honor everyone in your family. Honor everyone that you serve alongside. Just simply go out and honor people. Because you won't find it in our culture. You won't find it in our society. Romans 12:6 says this. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. And when we honor each other, it makes it so much easier to live out those gifts when we are honored for the gifts that God has given us. So when I was in another church, I had a number of staff that worked with me. And I had two in particular that were very interesting how they were uniquely put together. They were on the opposite spectrums. So I can't use their names because somebody might know some of them here. One was over here, detailed to the nines. Oh my goodness, this is an individual I hired simply because of the detail, the administration, the focus that this person had on all the little details. Things that were real, things that were perceived. Then I had this other staff member who was off the charts creative. Oh my goodness, when you talk about thinking outside the box, there was no box for her. There simply wasn't one. So I had these two individuals, and when we would do planning days, dreaming days, I had both of them at the table along with other staff members. And they would get at each other. Because this one would say, oh, wouldn't it be really cool if we did this? This one over here would come up with all the list of the reasons why we couldn't do it. And they were just like this. So I had to do some refereeing, I had to do some mentoring, I had to do some coaching to help them to understand diversity is healthy. Because in all of this comes the idea that's best for what we're trying to achieve. But we had to work that out. If I wouldn't have had this person, we would have just ran with things and it would have been a wreck. But if we would listen to this person and not with the dream, we would have gone nowhere. So we need both. Make sense? Okay. So there's diversity in the body. Maybe you want to think of it this way. You probably have already. Can you imagine how messed up we would be if you were all created like me? Barb? Or how messed up we would be if we were all created like you? Diversity is what plays to our strengths. Diversity was God wants to see in the kingdom of God. He's not a boring God. Man, just look around at how he's created us. We need to honor that. Then within that, I think there's just simply honoring others who may or may not be a part of the church. So this last week, I just happened, again, through my wonderful social media feed, came across this article that I read, and I'm glad I did, because it had Ellen DeGeneres' name in it. And I'll be honest, I at times can just pass by and continue on. But I didn't, and I read it. Ellen is sitting at a Cowboys game. She's got a good choice of football teams. Sitting at the Dallas Cowboys teams with George W. Bush, sitting in the same booth with, I think, the Cowboys owner, and they're laughing, they're having fun together, and then the social media got hold of it. And Ellen was being trashed, and this was all wrong, and she shouldn't be hanging out with people like this. And here's what Ellen replied. Do we know who Ellen is? You know who George W. Bush is? One's a Hollywood liberal. Bush is a Republican president. Here's what she says. Just because she doesn't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean she's not going to be friends with them. Whew, what a concept. When I say to be kind to one another, I don't mean be kind to the people who think the same way you do. I mean be kind to everyone. So maybe there is some civility, and we find it with a Hollywood liberal. We have a clip that I want you to watch, and then from that clip, we're going to go to the tables.
Letters, or rights books, or whatever, CDs go around. You get interesting emails and letters. And a lot of them are really encouraging. And then there's the others. But actually, they encourage me too. They get me stirred up. People, I tell you the truth, people abandoned Todd. He was going through a real difficult thing a year and a half ago. Many abandoned him. They're back on his wagon now, and he's graciously welcomed them all back. It's real easy to jump ship when somebody's facing some tough stuff. That's not the time to jump. That's the time to get on board, wave a flag, and say, don't shoot there, shoot over here. It's the truth. Back to my email. It's a long email. How in God's name can you endorse Todd Bentley? That was it. So I wrote him back. My answer was a little longer than his question. Have you spent time with Todd? Do you know him? Have you watched him with his wife? Or have you seen how he treats his kids? Have you spent any time with his staff? Have you been to his ministry? Has he been to yours? Have you laid hands on him and prayed? Has he laid hands on you and prayed? Have you grieved over tragedy together? Have you celebrated victory together? Has he sought your counsel? Has he traveled a great distance just to meet with you privately for advice? Have you ever received his counsel? Have you ever been in the room when God shows up on him, used him in stunning miracles? Have you seen him operate in word and knowledge of the prophetic? Have you met with his council of elders? Have you personally benefited from his gift? Has he benefited from your gift in ministry? Has he ever honored you for who you are in God? Has he partnered with you as a friend? Have you sacrificed for his welfare, for that of his family? Have you sought God with him? Have you ever worshiped the Lord with him? I didn't think so. I have. And I'll continue to support those I have walked with in life and ministry. He is my friend. More importantly, God calls him friend. And if you and I were ever friends at that level, and people hated you, turned against you, started web pages to tear down your ministry, criticized you to your friends, wrote against you in Christian magazines, criticized you on the radio, wrote emails to other conference speakers and authors, I'd still be your friend. By the way, criticism in the form of a question is not a question, but to respond to your statement, how in God's name can you endorse Todd Bentley? It's easy. I do it in God's name.
That's honor. There's a question that's going to come up. Hopefully, as we've talked about this morning, hopefully as you've talked around the tables with those around you, you've come to understand that honor changes people. Honor will change environments. It will change culture if we stay at it. God wants us to be transformational agents in our community. And a culture of honor is a huge part of that. When we honor people the way God calls us to honor, when we follow examples like Bill Johnson just demonstrated, we become a magnet. The world is drawn to us because they're looking for something that's life-giving. We have life-giving gospel message within us. Let's go and live a culture of honor to the best of our ability. And let's see what God does in bringing revival to this church, to this city, to wherever he chooses. All right?